Hi, everyone. Thank you so much for joining us. Kelsey here. Before we get into our full episode, I just wanted to say apologies. Unfortunately, our interview got cut a little bit short. Luckily, we had asked all the pertinent questions. We were just getting into the nitty-gritty of where you can find our guests. And unfortunately, my computer died and we were unable to reconnect that day. However, we still have all the juice of the episode. So please join us as we speak to the co-creators of Rational Creatures. Hi, and welcome to Tea and Strumpets. I'm Kelsey, and there's no Zoe. However, I do have three wonderful guests with me today. They are the co-creators of the series Rational Creatures, which is an adaptation of Jane Austen's Persuasion. And we're really excited to talk to them today. So hello, everybody.
Hi.
Hey.
For all our listeners, why don't we go around and you can introduce yourselves one at a time so we know who you are.
Sounds good. My name is Ashlyn. Hi, everyone. As you will hear all of us say, I am the co-writer, co-creator, co-director, co-everything of Rational Creatures.
And I'm Jessamine, and I am the same, co-creator, etc.
I'm Hazel. I'm also the co-everything.
Well, thank you guys so much for joining us today. And we're really happy to have you. I just keep saying we. It's really just me, but that's okay. Tell us a little bit more about Rational Creatures. So, like I mentioned before, this is a Jane Austen adaptation, well, Persuasion adaptation, but this is your particular take on it. So, tell us first what kind of is your history either with romance or Jane Austen in particular? Essentially, what drew you to this subject matter?
Great question. So I will let others pop in as well. And I should mention that Anya is the fourth co-creator of Rational Creatures as well. She's here with us today. But this all came about, we all were interested in different literary adaptations prior to this project. And we all started chatting and we all kind of had this idea for Persuasion, but no one had done it yet. And so we decided to take it on ourselves. I can tell you my personal history with Jane Austen stems back to when I was a preteen, I was a tween, and I caught that the Keira Knightley 05 version of Pride and Prejudice. And from there, I was hooked. It kind of hit me around the same time as Twilight came out. So those two things just kind of propelled me into this like, weird teenager who loved love and wanted. I basically became like Marianne Dashwood, but the modern version. So that's kind of my history with Jane Austen and romance in general. But I'll let someone else speak now.
Yeah, my Jane Austen history, I'm going to one you up. I was a huge fan from very young in childhood of the Emma Thompson Sense and Sensibility.
I used to a act favorite.
And I would be Marianne, like, having to be rescued, and I would make my brother be Colonel Brandon. So that goes way back for me, long before I read the books or anything. I don't read a lot of other romance, though. I guess maybe some YA that would be considered romance, but I was thinking about it, and I was like, I don't know if I've read anything that would quite technically be called, you know, adult romance by a publisher.
Well, that's okay. We all have to start somewhere. And we all have started with our own YA fantasy. I loved historical fiction. I loved fantasy. But for me, it always was about that love story that played out. And so the ones I discovered romance, it kind of just was that's where I focused all my energy. But what about you, Hazel?
So kind of like Ash, the 2005 PMP came out when I was 10, so got really into that and just watching the whole Jane Austen film back catalogue, and then started reading the books a bit later and fell really in love with those as well. And then romance-wise, just grew up stealing my mum's Elizabeth Chadwick romances all the time, which are way too old for me, but you know.
You know, we've spoken to a lot of authors and there's plenty of them that are like, I started reading them when I was like 8. Or like 10, yeah. But they were on my mom's shelf and I thought they were good.
Really love Regency romances, Moti Stick to Tessa Dare and Courtney Milan, who's Victorian as well. But yeah, it's my wheelhouse.
Excellent. Speaking our language over here. But I guess I should also ask, how do you guys all know each other? So you guys are all working on this project together and you guys have a joint interest in Jane Austen and the adaptations. But how do you guys actually know each other?
This is always a fun question to answer because it is a good story. We, through the magic of the internet, essentially, it's, you know, social media has its downsides, but this was an upside. So all of us coming from our love of Jane Austen and classic literature ended up in this community. If anyone watched Lizzie Bennet Diaries.
Oh my God, I was just talking about them yesterday.
The big touchstone.
I was just talking about this yesterday.
Yeah. So, not everyone knows, that launched a whole bunch, probably over 100 of more independently produced series in the same style, because it was very approachable for anyone to like take their phone and their friends in a bedroom and film, you know, vlogs as literary characters. So all of us have worked on other ones of those. And through various, I think Ash, I probably became friends with more from, used to do video call meetups to talk about them. Hazel was making GIFs of a show that I worked on. Anya and I were going to do a crossover on our shows, and then I was on a podcast she did, and then we became Twitter friends. So it's very, all very connected through that community and through social media. And I guess we didn't say we're spread over the world. We've got two of us in different parts of the US, and then Ash is in Canada and Hazel's in the UK.
Oh, wow. You guys are really spread out.
We're very spread out.
Yeah. Much of internet bringing people together situation.
Fabulous.
It doesn't make the time zones very fun, but otherwise it's been great.
Yeah, I get that. Zoe and I are not in the same location, but luckily we are in the same time zone.
Smart.
It helps. Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, that is so cool. It's so funny you mentioned Lizzie Bennet Diaries because Zoe's going to get a kick out of this when she listens to the recording for editing, because I was watching Bones, which like I know Zoe and I used to watch, but the actress who was Lizzie Bennet in the Lizzie Bennet Diaries becomes an intern like in one of the later seasons of Bones. And it's so funny because I saw her jump on. And I was like, oh my God, yay. She's doing big things. Good for her.
Amazing. Yeah, I see people pop up from that show here and there on other things. I'm like, I know them.
Yes. That's fun. Really, yeah. Fantastic. But speaking of all of this, I know you mentioned that Persuasion hadn't really been adapted this way, but how did you all collectively come up with this idea? Was it just organic conversation that then you decided to go towards this, or were you just looking for your next project?
Well, I think a few of us had ideas for what a Persuasion adaptation in modern times could be. So I know I definitely had some, not an outline, but some ideas kind of floating around, and Anya did as well. And in conversation, these things kind of came out. And all of a sudden we were playfully kind of outlining something that wasn't really real yet, until one of us, and I don't know which one of us it was just kind of like, hey, we've been talking about this for a while. Why don't we actually do it? Like, what is actually stopping us from actually producing it and trying to make it? And it is a little bit of a bigger project than any one of us has tackled before, in that it is not told in vlog style. It is told in a cinematic way, which takes a lot. There's a lot more to think about when you're making something like that. But that's kind of how it came to be. And also, like, there's a lot of things in the project that are really reflective of our own lives as creators. The character on Anne Elliot is a little older than the other Jane Austen heroines. And at the time when we were starting this project, a lot of us were reaching that age as well. And we were like, all right, like, what do we do now? What's the next step in life?
And I guess I'm an adult now.
Yeah, like, it's a little scary. And so we were all kind of having those thoughts, and we were all in those moments that the characters end up being in the show. And so it just kind of felt like a natural fit.
That makes a lot of sense. I definitely can see, like, I did a little research on Persuasion coming into this, because Zoe and I, to our regret, are not super up to date on our Jane Austen as we should be, given our love of romance and the Regency era. However, I definitely can see how this story would speak to an audience as they're getting older and kind of reaching that point, because it is such a different pivotal time. You're like, I guess I'm really away from that. And then how do I move forward with my life and reconcile my past with my present as well? Another thing that is a little bit different in your adaptation is you did say that it is LGBTQ plus representation. So tell me a little bit more of that spin. Like, I love it. I think it's fantastic. And I think more adaptations should really be willing to play with our modern takes on gender, sexuality, and, you know, all those open discussions that we're having. I think it's a really great launching off point. And I think there is a lot of creative space to take. So how did you guys decide that that was the direction you wanted to go in?
I think the last projects we've all done individually, we tried to include like more diversity just because that's what the world looks like. So if you're modernizing mm-hmm. and make everyone straight and white, it's, you know, it just was a bit insincere really. And it doesn't reflect our realities really. Yeah. And then coming into this, we were just having fun making the like main love triangle, having two guys and a girl, and just coming up with different interpretations of these side characters to give a bit more depth. And to make them more sympathetic.
Yeah, to Hazel's point, like we looked around our own friend groups and our friend groups don't look like just a bunch of straight white people. So we wanted, if we're adapting this and we're being true to ourselves, then we're going to try to adapt it in what our lives actually look like. So again, we each took parts of our lives that were personal to us and applied it to the text. So Aunt Elliot becomes on Elias because I'm Latina and I wanted to write a Latina character, right? And different characters mm-hmm. have different aspects of each of our lives. So that's kind of why you see the things that you see. But we also wanted to flesh out a lot of the characters that we don't really get to learn a lot about in the book. Or in the book, we might see things from Anne's perspective. And so we thought that changing things up allowed us to kind of, it gave us more liberty to explore some of the characters that we didn't get to explore in the text.
Yeah, and I think one of the things about Jane Austen, and this is maybe one of the reasons that she doesn't always fit quite as cleanly into the romance genre as other things, even though there's a lot of romance in her books, is that she was very much an observer and a commentator on her mm-hmm. time. Her books are really full of social commentary. So to not use some of that in a modern take on it didn't seem right.
So you wanted to pull her social commentary and apply it to our own social commentary right. about
today. Her social commentary, some of it is the same. Some things have not changed and then other things have. there's a lot of things that are themes and things that are very timeless. I think her things she has to say about women, a lot of them still feel really relevant as far as being a woman in society. Mm-hmm. I think Anne especially is a really interesting character because she's not the kind of character that we see as a leading type character a whole lot. She's a soft, quiet woman. And that can, especially in a film adaptation, that can be kind of hard because she's not saying all her feelings out loud. And I think there's been a lot of discourse in the last week on the internet about the take on her in the new Netflix version, and we've only seen the trailer, so who knows how
that
was
the funny thing is that everyone's yeah. comments on that, and I'm like, it's a trailer, guys, we have no idea what it's gonna look yeah. like.
well who knows what'll happen, but just I think it's stirred up some conversation mm-hmm. about that, and I think it's good things to think about, like, you know, why do we look at different personalities and go, oh, we can't put that personality in a movie, or we have to tweak it, or, you know, just like, it's an interesting thing to think about.
I like that. That twist on the main character. Why is one personality worthy of main characterhood, but the other one is not? Like you said, I like it. You're reflecting the world around you. There's different people, different perspectives, and they should be included in modern media. So I know that we took a spin on persuasion. However, does this adaptation really pull directly from the text, or did you kind of just use that plotline storyline and then worked the series and then worked your series around it? Because I know we're in season two as well, so I don't know how you guys broke up season one and season two as far as that. But again, like you said, like, would you call it a loosely based adaptation or a very pretty strong faithful adaptation, but obviously making allowances for placing it into modern day?
I think I thought it was pretty true to what the book was just told in modern time, but I recently revisited, I watched the 07 Persuasion recently, which I had purposely not seen in a really long time because we're working on this show. We don't want to take influences from us. And I recently watched it and I was like, oh yeah, that did happen in the book. We didn't do that. Like I almost forgot certain things, which is funny because we all did read the book. We all have been basically studying the book for almost at this point 5 years.
Wow.
It's just that it's for some reason, like there's things that stick in the adaptation and things that don't happen to stick. So, that's an interesting question you asked that I think I'm asking myself at the same time. Like, how true is it? I do think that we attempted for the tone to be true to the novel. We want Anna and Anne, I think, are probably the closest characters in terms of book adaptation to our show, of the entire show. Like, we really did want to keep true to that. We really wanted it to feel like Austin, like an Austin story. We talked about we on the team have very different takes on romance. Like I'm usually called the dramatic one because I love all those things. I watch telenovelas all my life. So
you want to see the carriage go over the cliff and he dive in and save her. Got it.
I would have totally added a faint in there just for funs. We didn't do that. but I do think it is true. I don't think it's not an exact adaptation though. I don't know. What do you, Hazel, Jessna, what do you think?
I would say it's definitely not like beat for beat. Like if you're looking for, oh, I want that exact scene. Some of those are in there. Not every single one is, for a number of reasons. There's things we had that were closer and we had to change them because of location or schedule availability. There's things that just don't translate well, or we have fleshed out characters in ways where they don't make sense anymore. One of the characters that I feel like we maybe changed the most is, Mary in the book to Marisol. In the book, Mary is like kind of a really whiny hypochondriac. And we kind of flipped that and said, what if she has a legitimate chronic illness? And like, that's something that affects her life. So I would say that stuff like that, it's the same, but it's also has a different twist to it. So it might be closer to an inspired by than a based on. But at the same time, I do think that the core themes and the heart of the story we've tried to really stay true to. So, your most intense purist fans might not go for it, but, hopefully people will get what we're doing.
I mean, I think it's great. I think anytime something is adapted, obviously, you know, you have to play around with it. It's, you're taking a body of work and you're applying it to your own personal creative process. And so therefore there's going to be alterations. Like you said, also there's just technical things that happen. You know, I know there's, you know, scenes get cut out of movies all the time, not because they're not amazing and great and serve a purpose, but because it was deemed unnecessary for whatever reason, or the takes just weren't perfect. And they're like, hey, you know what? We can just do without it. But Hazel, what do you think? Are you like, what was your like thought process in creating it? I know I saw you nodding along, so yeah, I understand where you're gonna go with this, but please enlighten us.
And generally I agree it's an inspired by rather than a beat for beat. Like Persuasion is one of my favorite stories of all time, so I feel like I'm more conscious of the changes we made in some ways, but I'm also like really invested in the story we ended up with. And yeah, it's exciting. I think we've got, like, even if we don't have all the exact same characters, I think we have the same themes and we have the same characteristics in it. They're just like merged into different people or shifted around a little bit. And I think one of the major changes we made was making, I don't know if this is full Persuasion or not, in the book, Louisa's happy ending kind of happens off screen. But because we made our Lewis much more of the primary character and we just loved him so much, we brought that romance much more to the fore. So it's like a big secondary romance, which has its, you know, own storyline all the way through, which I think is, you know, a lot more in frame than it is in the book.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. And I think there's, and especially to Austin wrote in her heroine's perspective, you know, through the entire book. And I know that, you know, something, especially with modern day romances and the fact that I like is that it's told through the eyes of both main characters. So that way you get each other's perspective, which drives me crazy when it's all about miscommunication. And I just want to like smack someone, but we're not talking about my issues with miscommunication tropes. But yeah, so no, I think that's really great. And I mean, I think with what you were trying to do, what I liked what you said, you felt the heart of the story was still the same. And I think that's what people want to see is, you know, we love the subject matter, we love the plots, but essentially we just want the heart of it to remain the same. And I think that's nice to hear, but I can tell from when you guys are talking about it that you're true fans of this piece of work. So, you know, I can hear that love and that passion for this project kind of come through, where it's like, yeah, we had to make some changes, but we have everyone's best intentions at heart here. Yeah,
please trust us. We're making educated choices with our adaptation choices.
Yeah, we haven't tried to just arbitrarily change things. And we also don't have what a lot of big adaptations have, which is any kind of pressure to make something a certain kind of marketable for a studio or something.
I thought you were going
to
say money. So, we don't have any money.
Also that. We're also not trying to make money. I mean, that's kind of what I was saying. We're not trying to cater to a studio that's trying to make money. Mm-hmm. So we don't have other people that don't know the story trying to give creative input.
Fair enough. I mean, that's kind of why we like these creative indie projects that people are creating. You know, it's allowing people to share their love. I mean, heck, we have a podcast all about romance novels, not because we're getting paid to do it, but because we just like it. We're like, and people have seemed to like hearing our opinions. So we're like, great, we're going to keep sharing them. So my kind of last question to wrap everything up is, what do you hope is going to resonate most with your audience? Like, what intention and purpose was behind the creation of this project? Like, I understand it was a passion project, but obviously if we're putting something out in the world, we're hoping that there's going to be a reaction of some kind. And like, do you guys have any hopes and aspirations for what that might be?
Ooh, good question. I think it was part of the project, like I said earlier, was like, I know for me personally, it was like getting through that like quarter life crisis of what's going on, how do I transition into this next part of my life? And I don't know, for me, I think I would say it's hopefully other people who are in that process or in that moment in life can kind of go along with our characters and see that there is a, hopefully, a way out of the crisis. I also just wanted to tell, I don't know, this is a hard question. Someone else answer.
Well, I was going to say a similar thing about quarter life crisis, because that's the part of the story that I feel resonates the most with me. So I hope people see that, but I hope that they see other people, other characters that they connect with and see themselves in, whether it's because of ethnicity or sexuality or because they have a chronic illness or because they just relate to their situation, whatever it is. You know, I think you always hope that any story you're telling people are going to connect with emotionally. And I think also with anything that's like a romance or a rom-com, you hope that people get really invested in, you know, like shipping the characters. So anytime we get comments that are like, oh, Ben and Lewis, oh, they were roommates, or oh, Fred and Anna, what are they going to do? You know, did I just call her Anna? Anna, what am I saying? So anytime people are like squeeing over the romances, I think that's very satisfying as a creator, because that's the kind of, you want people to be invested.
Mm-hmm. Super. Well, awesome. Like, this is really great. Again, it was kind of fun for me because you guys reached out before I was even aware of the drama surrounding the Persuasion trailer. And it was actually your reaching out to us that prompted me to even look into Persuasion, into what the heck it was. So thank you for that.
You're welcome. It's funny coincidence.
Yeah, really excited about this adaptation. So I know that this is season two, so there's already a season one out. Let all our listeners know where they can find season one and season two, when it's going to be out, how it's going to be distributed, and everything like that. We need to know now.
Amazing. Well, the easiest way to find us is by searching Rational Creatures on YouTube. We have a channel, but you can also find us on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, TikTok, Tumblr at Rational Series. And season two is coming up this summer.
Season one is more of our pilot series. It's only five episodes long. It's a little taster. Season two is much longer, gets more into the story.
Yes. Season one was kind of what we were able to fund and produce with the resources we had at the time. And then we used it to launch, do the rest. Pandemic kind of slowed that down. But yeah, I think it's over twice as long. So the first one's like, oh, meet the characters. And then this is like, get into the meat of the story. So
fabulous. So if you haven't watched season one, it's not too late. It's not going to take long. You can catch up and then be ready. Do you guys have a release date yet for season two?
So we don't have a firm release date announced quite yet. That news should be coming out relatively soon, so keep an eye, but it will be, should be starting this summer. Yeah, and season one is only about 20 minutes if you want to catch up. And the trailer for season two is on our YouTube channel, so there's lots to catch up on while you're waiting.
Anyway, thanks for having us.
Thank you so much.
Yes, thank you.
Hi, everyone. Thank you so much for joining us for this interview with the co-creators of Rational Creatures. It was so great to talk with Ashlyn, Jessamine, and Hazel. We really appreciate having them on our show. Unfortunately, my computer died at the end of the recording, and due to some technical difficulties, which involve me really needing to upgrade my computer, I was unable to finish the interview because of a computer dying. Anyway, we just wanted to again say thank you. If you have not already looked them up on YouTube, please do. You can find them by searching Rational Creatures on YouTube as their YouTube channel. You can follow them on Instagram and Twitter at Rational Series. And you can also find them on Facebook by looking for Rational Creatures. The expected release date for season two is August of this year. No exact date yet. So if you are interested in checking out season two, please go on to their YouTube channel. You can subscribe to the YouTube channel, which is obviously the best way to be up to date on when they're going to be dropping new episodes. It was really exciting to talk about them. This is a very interesting project, and we're really happy they reached out to us to be on the show. So again, thank you so much to Ashlyn, Jessamine, and Hazel. I really appreciate you guys coming on. As always, you can find us, your hosts, at T as in Tom, N as in Nancy Strumpets on Twitter and Instagram and / on Facebook. You can also follow us on YouTube by searching our name. Again, thank you to Rational Creatures for joining us on the show. I'm your host, Kelsey, and I look forward to seeing you all soon. May all your ever afters end happily.